everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Weekly Advice from Everyday Experts, a podcast put on by HubPages.com in which we hunt out really, really interesting articles by experts on HubPages.com and share them with you in podcast form. Typically what we do, at least we being HubPages staff, is we hunt for really interesting articles written by people we may have never met on the site before, but we also like to write our own articles or hubs on the site. And well, I'm sitting today with Michelle Pedro, and she herself has written one very excellent guide with excellent advice. And because she is indeed the expert in this case, and she is indeed in the office, I figured we might as well have the actual author with us every now and then. And so what she's going to do is tell us, well, she's going to share some really good tips on how to wear perfume properly and the do's and don'ts of perfume, which is, just as it happens, the title of your hub slash article.
Yes. Hello, everyone.
So, Michelle, have you always worn perfume? Like, what got you into it?
Well, I've always worn perfume, and maybe because I'm a child of my own grandmother, I don't know. But, ever since I was little, I can remember even buying knockoff brand perfumes, you know, down the street at the convenience stores. I remember Calvin Klein was the one that I loved the most
when I was
10 or 11 years old. And, yeah, I've just always had an interest in perfumes and the making of perfumes. And I feel like now my interest has grown and I'm more interested in really authentic perfumes, perfumers, perfume companies, because they're kind of far and few between now, because the perfume industry has become so competitive with celebrity endorsements.
And it has. And that's a fairly recent thing, the whole celebrity perfume.
Yeah, it's
line.
Like if you're a celebrity, you know, once you become a household name, it's a given that you have to come out with some kind of perfume. And, you know, most of these celebrities probably, you know, don't even have, I mean, I shouldn't make assumptions, but, you know, they just offer their name on the perfume, and they don't really have a hands-on how it's made or what it's made with.
Yeah, in many cases that is true.
Yeah, and the whole process of perfume making is a complex one if it's a high quality perfume. But as I mentioned in my hub, a lot of cheaper perfumes are made with alcohol, and
right.
Not only does it not last long or work well with the body chemistry, but it's also not good to put on your body. So, you know, natural essential oils and perfumes from flower essences and that sort of thing they go a longer way and they last longer, and they're just better to put on your body anyways.
So go natural. Stay away from alcohol.
Yeah, with anything, go natural.
So, wow, this is all new news to me because I don't really
Do you wear perfume?
Not really, no.
I mean, it's okay if you don't. I feel like
I know, but I see, I love perfume. I especially love food-like smells like lemon or vanilla or other things that remind
like
me of
citrusy.
Baking. Yeah, citrus. Yeah, but vanilla is my favorite scent of all time. Mm-hmm. I will sometimes, when I get sad, I'll go to the kitchen and just unscrew my little bottle of vanilla and just smell it. And I'm like, oh, yes.
Vanilla
is
a really good smell.
It's
I'm
very
also
comforting.
Obsessed with candles. Maybe that'll be my next hub. But
oh.
Yeah, anything vanilla. I mean, I think people definitely have particular scents that
they do.
Are attracted to.
That they gravitate towards.
Yeah, definitely. I'm more of like earthy, kind of musky scents.
Mm.
Whereas some of my friends like more of like the sweet or
floral
scents or citrusy. But I'm much more like musky, like more of like a masculine smell, I guess.
Very
I feel like the two perfumes I wear most often have those kinds of smells.
So you give some tips on buying perfumes.
Yes.
So say, because I just don't really know anything about perfumes, you can give me some advice and maybe some advice to those who are also listening. I want to go out and buy a perfume. How should I plan? Like, should I just go out and pick one that smells good and get it, or go for the prettiest bottle? Like, what am I going to look for? Because there are so many choices.
Well, I mean, there are so many beautiful perfume bottles, and sometimes it's hard when I go out and shop for perfumes to not be sold on the perfume bottles because some of them are beautifully crafted.
Seriously?
I know. But just like wine bottles, I feel like, too.
Oh, totally.
Or the wine labels, I should say. But, well, what I suggested in my hub is a lot of perfume counters or perfume stores or larger beauty stores like Sephora, they'll have samples for you to try. Mm. And I always feel like it's good for a few days at least to try a perfume at the beginning of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then wear it throughout the day and just see how it wears throughout the day. See if you like it. I mean, one perfume that you'll put on might initially smell great to you. And then throughout the day, it'll give you a headache. It'll be too strong. It'll wear into, you know, kind of a different smell after it mixes with your body. So,
this is true. Yes. Yeah. Perfumes evolve over time.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's different notes. There's a base, a middle, and an end note in most good quality perfumes. So it kind of unfolds as the day goes on.
Hmm.
And one of the suggestions that I make on my hub is not to go cheap. So, you know, for me, a $40 perfume is on the cheaper side. So maybe it's not worth it for you if you're going to spend $40, you know, to do trial and error. But for me, a lot of my perfumes are in the 70, 80 and upwards range, which sounds expensive, but they last like a year, year and a half.
Yeah.
So with that said, when you're going to drop that kind of money on a perfume, you might want to test it over the course of a few days. You know, nothing too dramatic, but
right.
Take like two or three samples, put them on, see how you like it, and then at the end of the week, purchase it.
That sounds really smart, and I love the idea of taking samples because then I get free things to play with. And
samples, I mean, if it's a good quality perfume, even a sample can last a while.
Heck yeah.
So if you want to change it up and grab three samples or whatever, and a lot of the high-end perfume counters, like at Saks Fifth Avenue or Neiman Marcus or something, they'll give you quite a few perfume samples for you to try. So,
That's really wonderful.
Of those perfumes are expensive. The Bond No. 9 perfume line that I mentioned in my hub, those are very expensive. They're close to $200. So you want to know if you like it before you purchase it.
Yeah, you better know. And it better perfume, mix well with your skin and everything.
That perfume will definitely last about a year and a half.
Well, and I imagine the way it would make you feel and...
Yeah.
Just having that process as part of your day would be really fun.
Yeah. And I don't know. I like the... I don't have really multiple personalities when it comes to my perfume. I've stuck with the same two perfumes for probably the last eight or so years, and
now do you switch those out seasonally? Because I read somewhere that it's advisable mood wise to switch from one in the spring to another, or one in the summer to another in the winter or something, so that you don't get stuck in a mental rut because mm-hmm. you're always smelling the same thing. Like, it's a good way to shift your moods. Do you use them that way, or do you just kind of switch around?
That's actually a good point. I don't change my fragrances depending on the season.
Hmm.
I change mine up depending on the event that I'm going to.
Oh, interesting.
Like, I have a perfume for a day, and then there are perfumes like my Bond No. 9 Westside. It's a little bit more musky, kind of spicy, a little bit sexier. So mm-hmm. I tend to wear that at night.
So it's for like special.
Yeah, I wear it at like a night event or a date or whatever it is.
Right.
I mean, I'll wear it during the day. I'm not really strict about it, but...
you just gravitate towards it.
Yeah. So I wear it according to, I guess, you know, the particular thing that I'm going to do.
Do you find that the like smells from different perfumes will clash with each other when they, like, sit on your clothes? Or, like, I've always worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
If I have multiple perfumes that they would clash on...
Yeah.
Coats and scarves and things like that.
I'm not too particular about that. I never spray perfume on my clothing.
Right, but I mean,
but
if you put it on your neck.
Yeah,
right,
it'll wear. Yeah, I know what you mean. No, I mean, I don't normally. I can't really tell if it clashes or not. I just kind of. I don't think too much about it. Sometimes I'll wash off, you know, like just take a damp cloth and wash off, right. you know, wherever I put the perfume. But, you know, if I'm in a rush, I don't really, you know, I'm not too keen on noticing that.
Someone doesn't need to freak out about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
That sounds good. Okay, yeah. And at the end of your guide to the do's and don'ts of perfume, mm-hmm. you offer a really, really great tip. I'm so glad that you offered it, about perfume application. Would you mind sharing that again?
Don't smash your fragrances. Well, don't really smash anything, I guess, but...
Only for fun.
Yeah, I guess you could smash grapes. But, yeah, smashing, as I mentioned in my hub, is another term for, you know, just basically rubbing your fragrances together. You know, I think it's normal for people when they put perfume on to put it on their wrist pulse points and then smash their wrists together.
You see people doing it at perfume
counters.
All the time. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And it's just not, it's not a good idea because it can change the fragrance. And you want it to, you want to apply your perfume in its most natural state, I guess. And, you know,
right.
over time,
well,
of course,
chemical
just
compounds are going to change.
Yeah, exactly. From the bottle to the skin and then smashing it against your skin. I mean, over the course of a day, of course, you know, your body parts are going to touch and whatever. But
right.
So don't freak out about it. But initially when, you know, you're applying your perfume, it's a good idea just to dab it on the pulse points and allow it to air dry. Some people walk into their perfume.
Oh, I've seen people do that.
Yeah, which could work. I think that's a good idea if you want to avoid going overboard with your fragrance, which I advise because... Someone who smells so strongly of perfume, I don't know,
like people who leave trails.
Yeah, it's such
don't
a bad
you
idea.
I love it when that happens.
It's such a bad idea. You want people to remember, you know, when they initially meet you, not just your smell, but,
yeah.
you know, you want that to kind of be like a subtle afterthought, not like
yeah.
the first thing that they notice. It's
yeah.
very
well,
offensive.
You always hear it described in novels, you know, like, oh, he smelled something like sandalwood or like,
yeah.
this like, you know... They're always used as themes in romantic books.
Yeah, you want someone, to not have your perfume thrown in their face initially when they meet you.
Yeah, it's just supposed to be a sentimental thing that people will cling
yeah.
to.
Yeah, and I like the idea of your signature scent. You know, I have a handful of friends who, you know, if I smell that fragrance that they wear, I know exactly it's. Who it is, or
yeah, and that's well for me. That's the trouble with like modern cheap scents,
yeah,
like
because it doesn't stay on, yeah.
Well, also because if you smell one person and like the first person that you smell that smells like that is going to be what everyone else smells like,
yeah,
like,
yeah, that's true.
That smells like Bill, you yeah. smell just like Bill, and then like, whoa, David smells like Bill too.
That's yeah, that's actually very true.
It's,
there was a while
it freaks
where...
me out, it freaks me out when I'll like hug someone and I'm like, whoa, you smell a lot
yeah.
like someone else.
I hate that too.
Yeah, yeah,
there's
gross.
That perfume that Clinique, the makeup line, came out with called Clinique Happy.
Oh, Happy, yeah, yeah.
Ugh. I hate that perfume, first of all. I hate Happy. And, one of my friends from high school used to wear it. And the rare times that I smell it now, because thank God a lot of people don't wear it now, I'm like,
like,
oh,
you smell
God,
like
that's
her.
My friend.
That's so, yeah, that's...
But then there are really pleasant smells where I only, very unique smells, one scent one of my friends wears, I forget who it's by, but it's called Angel, and it smells so amazing. And every time, I mean, she's like the only one I know of who wears it. And, you know, you just, it's just her, you know, like you
yeah.
walk into her house and it smells like that. And I don't know, I just like that idea of having your signature scent.
I do too. And I think it's another argument for buying more expensive perfumes
yeah.
because fewer other people are going to have that
yeah,
signature scent.
Exactly.
Because you don't necessarily want to smell like everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for that. I'm definitely for that.
Yeah, when Chanel Mademoiselle came out, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago or whatever. Well, maybe longer than that. But I felt like it became really popular all at the same time.
Right.
And I loved the scent initially. And then I was just so turned off because everyone wore it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? Chanel Mademoiselle?
Yeah, I do.
It smells so good, but then after a while, it's like, ugh.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I almost would like to have a perfume made for me. And I know there are people who do that. I know there's a really good guy who does that in New York City. I'm sure there are a bunch around here, too. Mm-hmm.
There's something to be said for that.
Yeah, it's something to consider. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, you would have to establish a long-lasting relationship with your perfumier because you need to have them, like, make it for you again. But it'd be cool to actually have your own scent.
Yeah. That's a really good idea. I think I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, I think Audrey Hepburn for a long time had someone famous had made a scent for her, and she refused to let it roll out to other people.
Yeah.
She, like, no one else could wear it. She's like, it's forbidden. You can't. And I just love that idea.
I love that idea, too.
I know. Isn't it great? We should both get our own signature scents made.
Well, I just feel like there's, you know, with overconsumption, not to go on a tangent, but just with, like, I don't know, like, authenticity is just so not appreciated anymore.
Yeah.
You know, with overconsumption of so much crap, it's just like, I don't know.
You want something unique and special.
Yeah, something unique and And well made. You know, there's such a lack of that too right now that, you know, things are just like mass produced and...
But I think that's something that's making perfume particularly special is that there is so much going on behind the scenes. There's so much thought put into the good ones, of course. Mm-hmm. Well, and even the crappy ones. There's a lot of thought put into those. But the good ones are the really interesting ones, the ones behind which you can find unique and fascinating craftsmen who've been doing this for all of their lives.
Right.
Who are absolutely steeped in the science and the art of perfume.
Yeah.
And if you're interested in those, I've been really recommending to Michelle and to anyone else who's reading is also interested in perfume, books by Chandler Burr, who I believe started out as a journalist who covered the perfume industry, but then went on to write two books about them, one called The Perfect Scent and the other called The Emperor of Scent. They both have, like, subtitles, but if you just Google Chandler Burr, you'll find that those books will show up. They're fascinating. Mm-hmm. The first is just about, The Emperor of Scent is about the perfume industry, and The Perfect Scent is about the creation of two distinct scents, one being a scent that Hermès rolled out and the other being Sarah Jessica Parker's set. So you're allowed to see both the celebrity set that you were discussing. I can't remember the Sarah Jessica Parker one, but the Hermès scent that was made that he covered was the Jewel of the Nile.
No, what's the book?
Oh, The Perfect Scent.
That's The Perfect Scent, right? Because you sent those to me.
Yeah, The
I
Perfect
didn't know
Scent.
Which
the full
which.
Title is The Perfect Scent, A Year Inside the Perfume Industry in Paris and New York. And
Sarah Jessica Parker's first scent was called Lovely. And
that's what it is.
Yeah, and she, for me, is the only celebrity with a fragrance line whose blood, sweat, and tears went into creating.
They really did. You can tell from this book. Yeah. It's fascinating.
And she, too, you know, ever since she was younger, has been fascinated with perfumes, and she's really the only one who made it her passion to create, you know, a scent that she truly loves, and she really did put a lot of work and effort into it.
And she surprised everyone with that,
too. Yeah, she really
did.
Like, at
the portables, they're kind of like, she's just gonna, you know, come in, but she's like, no, I want to be super involved, and they're like, oh, what do we do?
Yeah, and it's, oh my God, I don't even know. I used to wear it for a couple years, and then
did
again.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You have to read this book.
A couple years. I used to wear it for, like, one, you know, like, the first year or two it came out, and then a lot of people started wearing it, so I stopped wearing it.
Yeah.
But have you ever smelled it?
No.
Oh, my gosh. It smells amazing.
It sounds like it's, if you're into, like, musky,
yeah,
more,
exactly. That's
like,
what it
sexy
is.
Sexy smells.
Yeah. And maybe
that's
why I was attracted
all
to it.
About.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to. Oh, okay. You
okay,
just
so
to.
I have to read that
you,
one
you do.
For sure.
Yes. So, Michelle, I gotta thank you so much for sharing your expertise on perfume and for publishing a hub about it. Because, I mean, if you know something, you might as well share that and turn it into a beautiful article, which you did. So,
thank you
for doing that. And hey, for those of you listening, if you are an expert on something or you have great tips to offer about anything from perfume to laundering socks. I would love to read that. I have trouble laundering my socks. I don't know about you, Michelle.
Oh, that's a really good hub, actually, because I get so, you mean like losing your socks
in
the laundry,
them,
right?
But they also get stretched out.
Yeah,
and I have lots of different, yeah. Anyway, so you can basically write about anything, and that's what HubPages is for. So be an expert yourself. It might just happen that the article/hub that you publish is going to be covered in the next podcast. Dun, dun, dun. So, go out and do that, and have fun with perfume.